We are starting a new sermon series for Lent, Off the Beaten Path. And the point of this series is to talk about what it looks like to follow the folks in the Bible, particularly Jesus, who, rather than take the well-trod path, instead find themselves somewhere more wilderness-like. Not quite a stroll in the forest, but certainly a stroll in the desert. And sometimes it is those places where we have to give up what we would like to take with us that we discover God's presence anew. When I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about this culinary idea, food. I know, surprising. It's this idea of if you've ever been at a nice restaurant, the idea of a palate cleanser. You ever heard of a palate cleanser, something you eat between food? Well, when I was in high school, I kind of learned what this was because I had a friend who worked at a sushi restaurant. One time, this friend worked there. Her boyfriend decided to go visit her, and he had never been to a sushi restaurant before. Has anybody here not had sushi? Okay, so you're going to have to stick with me. I'm going to describe some things. There are things on a plate of sushi that are just a little bit unusual. There are things that don't get eaten in Western Europe and the United States as often. For instance, there's wasabi. And wasabi is a little bit difficult to describe. It's this little green paste that you mix in with soy sauce and put on rolls of sushi, and it kind of tastes like horseradish. I believe it's actually related to horseradish, but it's this very tangy, bitter, shocking flavor. It's also delicious. But one of the things that comes on a plate of sushi that is really hard to describe is there's always this little wad of pickled ginger. It's pinkish in color. And I don't even quite know how to describe what pickled ginger tastes like. It's very sour and shocking, and if you've never had it, it's hard to describe exactly what it tastes like. And it's meant to be a palate cleanser. As in, you eat one thing of sushi, and then you eat a little bit of the ginger, and then you eat another thing. So, my friend works at the sushi restaurant. Her boyfriend comes to visit her, and he asks, "What is this pink substance?" He had no idea what it was. And so, she decided to tell him that it was smoked salmon, which it was not. And so he picked up this giant wad of pickled ginger and put the whole thing in his mouth. And needless to say, it was very, very funny for us. I'm hoping that he can look back on it and laugh a little bit. But pickled ginger is meant to be a palate cleanser. It is something that is so different than what you just ate that it prepares you for the next thing that you are going to eat. If you've ever bought perfume, by the way, this is why they will often have like a dish of coffee beans. You spray perfume or cologne, you smell it, and then you smell the coffee beans so that the previous cologne is just not there anymore, and you are able to smell the new one. But the idea is that there ought to be an experience between experiences that resets things. And in a lot of ways, this is an idea that is very much at home in our faith. And in fact, there are stories throughout Scripture and throughout Christian history and Jewish history as well, in which folks endeavor to leave behind whatever path they are on in order to reset, to re-encounter the Spirit of God. In the Bible, these experiences almost always involve the wilderness, going to a place where all the comforts of home are no more, and letting go of what is, giving up perhaps even that which is needed in order to discover God is an act of discovering simplicity. It allows us to return not just to what was immediately before, but to a new act of God's Spirit. And so during this season of Lent, we are going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to wander off the beaten path. And we're going to begin with Jesus, who before he begins his own ministry, journeys into the wilderness where he is tested. And this story is a story about individuals being challenged, but I also think it's a story for the church, that sometimes we need to collectively step off of the normal path to embrace simplicity in a place where we can't take everything with us, where we need to resist the temptation to do more than what it is God needs from us. And so let us listen now to our scripture from the Gospel of Luke. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Well, may God bless this reading. Well, venturing off of the beaten path goes in Scripture just about all the way back to the beginning. When God calls Moses, when he speaks out of a burning bush, Moses responds, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight." That turn aside becomes the opportune phrase throughout a lot of Scripture. The pattern is repeated throughout the actual Hebrew community following their liberation from Israel, or from Egypt, when Israel wanders in the wilderness for 40 years. It's as though God is saying, before you can become the people of God, you need to realize a new way to do things. And the best way to realize a new way to do things is to be unable to do the previous things that you did. It's like a palate cleanser. Stop doing what you've been doing so a new way of doing things can emerge. The prophets in the Old Testament are the same way. They face similar situations. They all seem to live on the edge, away from the normal way of doing things. This living in the wilderness, off the beaten path, serves as the palate cleanser for their faith. It changes who they are, reorients them away from the world and the normal workings, and instills in them a focus on God. So today in our passage, it's just before Jesus is going to begin his ministry, this ministry which is in the lineage of Moses and of Israel and of the prophets. He is off of the beaten path. While there, he is fasting for 40 days and he is tempted. We hear this figure, the devil, the tempter, the one who opposes God, approaching him, challenging him. And I think in some ways, the meaning of these challenges is meant to reveal something about what Jesus' ministry is about. Because each time the tempter makes a claim from the book of Psalms, which they are all Psalms, Jesus responds with a passage from Torah. And Jesus is rejecting what it is that the devil thinks that he ought to need for his ministry. He rejects material food. He rejects the call for absolute power. He rejects the challenge to test God's protection. And it's interesting in this long list of things that the church and people of faith sometimes seek. Food, power, protection. I think it is important to point out that when Jesus rejects these things, it is not because they are inherently bad, other than the worshiping the devil one. I'm willing to put that in the thing that you shouldn't do in your normal life as a Christian. But the other things are interesting because I don't think Jesus would argue against eating, right? We're not going to see Jesus in his ministry say, you shouldn't eat, thankfully. It's just that Jesus is in the wilderness and realizes that he has to be reoriented to God. And so there is a giving up of something. There is a simplifying that goes on. It is a journey of leaving the path behind, because it is in leaving the path behind, even for a time, that we become reoriented to God. So leaving the beaten path is part of faith. And in a lot of ways, this is what Lent is about. You know, in our modern world, when you think about Lent, you think about giving something up. And often in our culture, when we think about giving something up, it's almost always in the conversation about a diet. I'm going to give up things that make me not as healthy a person. So people during Lent, when I was a kid, I'd give up chocolate. Is anybody not giving up chocolate for Lent? Oh, I see one back there. Well, besides Steve. But the thing is that we treat Lent as a way to get healthier physically, but getting healthier is not actually the goal of a spiritual fast. Rather, the goal of a spiritual fast is always to make room. That's why it involves giving something up. You know, I remember reading about the monastic traditions in the church. You know, people who would go live in the desert in caves alone and would spend all of their time praising God, worshiping in prayer. You'll read about communities today that are monastic, where people live in a vow of silence, where they will not talk to one another. We all know the vows of Catholic priests and monks, of poverty, celibacy, giving up owning things. But what you learn when you read about these traditions is they don't give those things up because they're bad. If you are a monk who's taken a vow of silence, it's not because you think that talking is inherently sinful. You give it up to make room for something else, for something that may bring you closer to God. Because often it's not the bad stuff that gets in the way of our relationships with God or with others. It's the good stuff. And this is why in these traditions, simplicity is so central. Because in giving something up, in simplifying our practice, in simplifying our lives or our life together, we can sometimes and really often discover what is most important to God. So when you're thinking about your Lenten discipline, give up chocolate if you want. But also think about giving up something that takes up time. I will tell you, I did not give it up, but man, I can go on YouTube at any moment and spend the next 3 hours watching YouTube videos. And I learn a lot of stuff. And I don't think it's bad. I just wonder what it would be like to turn YouTube off for 10 minutes and pray or meditate. What it would look like to go to bed 10 minutes earlier so that I could read scripture or a devotion. Again, not because the things I'm doing are bad, but to make room for God and God's Spirit, to make room for what God may do. And you can think about this in relationship to the church. If you've been around this place for the last few months, it has been an interesting time. There have been rooms that have been cleared out, preparing for what is next. We have hymnals that go back to the 1800s. You can go check them out if you want after worship. Really cool stuff. We have found church documents and bulletins, and we found stuff that nobody knows why we kept, but we did. But the rooms have been emptied, the things have been rehomed and recycled, and you know what? None of it is because that stuff was bad. Nobody looks at our education wing and goes, well, what went on there wasn't what God wanted. People were brought to faith in this place. People were loved and accepted and welcomed in this place. People were told that they were loved in a world that wasn't always loving in this place. Lives were changed because of what happened in those rooms. But we all know that something has changed in our culture. And everyone who does work in the church knows that things aren't the same as they were. The rooms haven't been utilized in the way that they were in previous generations. And so we've been doing this cleaning out, and it's been motivated by this need to make space for new tenants that are entering the building. But I've wondered too, as I've walked around this place the last few months, about if there isn't a little bit of fasting going on in our lives together. That as we seek to figure out new spaces to do some of the old things, when we've had to have conversations about what does need to be kept and what can be gotten rid of, if we aren't simplifying a little bit. I spent time this week going through the church library, and you can see back in the narthex some of the books that we kept. And knowing that books are simply not relevant forever, we have books that we didn't keep. And that process of simplifying means choosing to give up some things to make room for new things. And so what does it look like as a church when we simplify some of our life together, when we give up some of what was in the life of the community in order to seek what will be? Again, not giving it up because it's bad, but giving it up to make room for what it is God is doing next. Giving it up for what God is wanting us to make space for. And we can extend this to all aspects of church life, ways of simplifying what it is that we do. Because in the life of faith, whether individually or collectively, we know that it is wandering off the beaten path, wandering away from the way that you normally do things, that reorients us to where God's presence is now. It is in giving things up that we make room for what God is doing. It is in going into the wilderness that we find God's Spirit. We all know there's a good chance that the Christianity of the future will need to discover new ways of being simple, that we will have to double down not on the processes, but on the relationships, that we will have to learn to work with resources that weren't what they were in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, when everyone went back to church, not to mention when half of most families didn't work. The advent of women working, which afforded women security that we should not be against, also meant that the folks who came and ran church programming weren't around anymore. But all of this stripping back what we are and what we do as a church can help us rediscover what is most important in our life together. What is most important that we do? And perhaps it feels like a wilderness moment not to know what is next. It feels like a wilderness moment to let go of what seems familiar. But it might just be a great opportunity. So this Lent, we are going to follow God off of the beaten path. We're going to follow Jesus into the wilderness, because in Scripture, that is where folks go before beginning a new era of ministry. And as we transition to our own new era of ministry, it will be important to listen to God, to let go of some of what has been. And in doing so, we get to join the long list of folks who have done so in the past, who have let go, who have wandered away in order to find their way back in a new way. So I hope you'll join us this Lent as we explore what it means as individuals and as a church to seek God in the wilderness. Let us pray. Well, holy and gracious God, as we gather here today, we pray as your people. We seek your face in this world. Remind us, O holy God, of the ways in which you show up, not where we think you ought to be. Remind us not to seek you where we designate faithful spiritual places, but holy God, help us to see your face in all things, in the world around us, and the friends and family, and even and maybe especially in the strangers in our midst. Well, holy and gracious God, as we gather today, we pray these things in your name. Amen.